YouTube is to stop recommending videos to teenagers that idealise fitness. It will still allow 13 to 17 year olds to view the videos, but its algorithms won't push young users down what they call a rabbit hole of related content afterwards. And it comes after experts and so much research that joins together what kids are watching online. And in particular, when it comes to fitness videos, they say it can be harmful to their health and self-image. So we'd like to get your thoughts on it. I mean, only yesterday I was here wailing into the microphone about how tough it is to have teenagers and screens. And last week we were talking with the guy who had worked in TikTok, who was talking about young boys being sent misogynistic content, more violent content, and that's what the algorithm was feeding them. So all of that I absolutely get, as well as what social media can do to everybody's mental health, but in particularly young and developing minds. This one I don't get. I think it's got to be good for them to be looking at fitness videos. Am I wrong? 53106, it'll cost you 30 cent, or you can WhatsApp us 087 1400 106. Sarah Jane Tobin is editor of rollercoaster.ie. Hello, Sarah Jane.
Hey, Claire, how are you doing?
I am good. Lovely to hear your voice. Yeah. You have a teenage son. Is this something you come across?
Look, and I don't, it's not something that I would come across an awful lot on his accounts, because I don't think that's what he looks at. He'd be more inclined to be watching gaming videos and stuff like that. He is a very active individual, and you know, he goes to the gym and he plays on the sports team and all that kind of stuff, so he is very active anyway. I don't think that would be the kind of fodder for him, but I would be a little bit different to you in the sense that I do actually think that there is a bit of an issue with these videos for kids that age, and I'll explain why. I think, you know, a lot of these videos, they're not verified, and a lot of the time they're, you know, tutorials that are done by other teenagers and stuff like that. And you know, you have to remember that teenagers' bodies develop differently and stuff like that. And, you know, they could end up doing themselves not only mental damage where they're comparing themselves to other people who have, quote unquote, ideal body shapes and body weights and stuff like that. They could physically be doing themselves damage by taking on exercises that maybe they're just not able to do yet because their joints haven't developed. Or maybe, you know, they're being advised to take supplements or something like that that don't necessarily agree with their organs because their organs aren't developed yet. So I can kind of see why I think YouTube would be making this move. But I don't think it should be restricted to fitness, let's be fair.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And I mean, I think I was just assuming that all of these videos would be from fitness professionals. But you're right. It's anybody who's sharing information. And that is very dangerous in the world of health and well-being. You really have to be careful where you're taking your health advice from.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just limited with fitness either. I mean, we see the Sephora Kids trend that's absolutely blown up all over the internet, where you see all these little girls who are like 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, absolutely raiding Sephora stores in the States. And it's moved across here now too, where they're going in and they're buying all these skincare products like with hyaluronic acid and glycolic acid and all these kind of bits and pieces in it that they just don't need. How these kids know what they are, I don't actually know. Obviously, they're watching other videos and stuff like that. But it's, you know, a lot of the stuff is unverified. This 13-year-old teenagers on TikTok with millions of viewers who are watching their get ready to go to bed routine with their four steps of skincare every night and stuff. And it's just, it's wild what they're using. And they're influencing other kids. And, you know, and obviously there's the pressure then on parents and stuff like that to put their kids and give their kids money for this kind of thing. But it's, you know, I just think we're losing the run of ourselves. A little bit in that sense that we do kind of have to, like, they are still young, influential, impressionable people that need to be minded, even on a platform like YouTube. And the fact that they can actually, I think it's great to see that they can actually change the algorithm a little bit. It's not censorship. The videos are still there if they want to access them. And also, you know, they're not going to be removed or restricted if the user isn't signed into an account. They can still view them. But it's interesting to see they can adapt the algorithm. So the things like, I don't know why they haven't put that in place yet for misogynistic content like you were talking about there.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Sarah Jane, stay there because I want to bring in Padraig. Padraig, you are in Galway. You finished school a few years ago. What do you think of this idea?
Hi. Yeah, I don't really understand this move from YouTube. I think they seem to have no problem pushing sponsored content, something that if I'm not interested in a certain ad, they'll still keep showing it to me over and over. But then when it comes to something that might potentially be positive, like health and fitness videos, they seem to want to restrict that for teenagers. I understand that there's a certain degree of toxicity in some of these videos, but overall, I don't really understand why they would want to restrict something like fitness when there's much, as you said, worse content available to 13 to 17 year olds, like misogynistic, like far right kind of content that could be much more harmful potentially.
Or just absolute crap sometimes, Porrick. I go into the sitting room to say, right, enough YouTube, because, you know, my kids consume it on the TV screen now as well. And, you know, people making slime, people just talking absolute gibberish and filling their heads with cotton wool. Sometimes I think to watch somebody working out is surely the lesser of the evils.
I'd have to agree. And also a point I'd like to make is YouTube is not where the majority of 13 to 17 year olds are consuming this kind of content. It's not like YouTube restricting the recommended videos is going to have much of an impact. Like, it's mainly TikTok and Instagram, I would say, are the driving forces behind things like fitness trends and, as your previous caller was saying, like hair and makeup and beauty, and those, that's all coming from TikTok and Instagram. Obviously, there is a YouTube element to it too, but I don't think that one platform is going to have a big impact on what 13 to 7 year olds consume. I also don't really understand why they're taking the moral high ground with this when, like, YouTube already employs a range of tactics to keep users hooked. They have autoplay on videos and the recommended content, for example. That is another way to just keep you online, which in itself is an unhealthy habit. And perhaps one of the good things that could come out of viewing YouTube is getting interested in health or getting interested in fitness. And now they want to restrict that. So I don't really understand it, to be honest.
Now, Porrick, I don't have any moral high ground in this line of questioning I'm going to ask you, but do you consume health and fitness content?
Not on YouTube, I wouldn't say. Probably more so Instagram. I'd say I'm very active. I run for a club, and that's a sport that I think you start to realize, like, there is no ideal, like, sort of Instagram body that you see online, that doesn't exist for the average person, for the average healthy and fit person. It's nothing like what you see on Instagram or TikTok. So I suppose you could have a lot of, like, 13 to 17 year olds is the age range that they're restricting here. You could have a lot of that age range seeing this toxic content and getting influenced by it. But I think if you're just an active person, you're never going to attain the sort of goals that you're taught to strive for on these platforms.
And when you are seeking out this kind of content, what are you watching? What sort of things are you watching? Is it personal trainers? Is it running coaches? You know, is it food content? What kind of things would you seek out?
Yeah, it'd be all those sort of things. I think there is a lot of content, like, yeah, running coaches, personal trainers on Instagram, on TikTok. And you have to be discerning yourself. You have to try and tell who is more inclined to be presenting a realistic image and a realistic set of goals. You can't just be looking at everyone and seeing these models and these people who are dedicating their whole life to achieving a certain aesthetic and thinking that's what you should be going for. And I suppose it is more difficult when you're at that younger age and you're more impressionable. But I think you do have to leave it up to people themselves to be discerning. And I don't think YouTube, just by restricting the recommended content available to that age bracket of users, is going to make a huge difference, especially because I don't think YouTube is the main platform for this kind of content.
Okay, Porrick, well, thank you very much for coming on. I hope that you're following John Belton, owner of Number 17 PT and Human Performance and Wellness Coach. He's on the line. Hello, John.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm very good. Good to hear your voice. You are well known for your online workout videos. Is this something you have to consider when you're putting that content out there?
Yes, of course it is. I mean, this is such a minefield. And I mean, when you initially put the topic to me, I kind of thought, this is fantastic that there's a bit of restriction going on. And then, I mean, one question I would ask is what YouTube deems as fitness content, because fitness content could be informative tutorials, how to do a kettlebell swing, right through to, you know, what training is like. But then it's also like that supplement pushing, unattainable physique stuff based on, you know, influencers who are taking performance enhancing drugs. Like, this, it's such a minefield, and I can't help but get pulled back to the need for young teenagers to be in an environment where there's activity, you know, group training, whether it's playing football, whether it's going for a walk with a friend, or whether it is getting involved in some type of strength training. There's so much more to fitness and exercise than just that simple, you know, sweat for 40 minutes or whatever that is. There's the, you know, learning about how to engage and move your body correctly. It's, you know, learning what your strengths and weaknesses are and how to work on a weakness as opposed to just ignore it. You know, there's the social element to it. And it saddens me to think that there's a teenager somewhere that just sits in their room and goes from watching one thing on YouTube to doing their work and then going back onto YouTube. I feel like in the bigger picture that, you know, they're missing out on being out in nature and seeing people and having communication and, you know, dealing with a coach, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a minefield, I guess. If it's helping young people get active in an informed way, that's fantastic. But where do you verify? You know, where do you draw the line on what's a verified account or not on YouTube, and what's appropriate? It's a really tricky situation. But to kind of echo what your previous two callers have said, I feel like there's a lot more harmful content on YouTube, and again other social channels that you know we should have a lot more concern about, as opposed to just the fitness pieces. I mean, When I was 12, 13, I was trying to think back to what I, you know, I wanted to strength train and I wanted to learn about it, and I had no access to a gym where I lived. So I tried to do things myself, and I had a York dumbbell set. I'm sure anyone in their 40s now will know the type of dumbbell set I'm talking about. And there was pictures on it, and I tried to imitate what the pictures did. So, you know, and of course, in turn, injured myself. So I guess, you know, young lads, I suppose I can speak more on behalf of young men who are 12 or 13 or young boys, are going to try and do these things and, you know, try and learn how to strength train, and they want to be stronger and they want to be in shape, et cetera, et cetera. And if there's not good accessible information there, they're going to try and find it somewhere. The other issue that I know is, you know, young guys walking into a gym, if it's the wrong environment, they could be very easily influenced by older guys who are taking drugs or who are doing whatever else. So there's many aspects to this conversation that you can talk about. And my kind of summary would be, I guess, that restricting fitness content is a very broad statement. I feel like there's other things that could be restricting that would be better in the long run.
There's a text here I'd love to get your thoughts on, John. It's from Kieran, and there's others very similar to it. And they say, the problem is anyone can upload content. These influencers often do not have the required qualifications to advise people correctly for physical activity. The fitness content can lead to an obsession and even eating disorders. Do you have issue with that, with who is sharing this advice, and that there should be a qualification before you're allowed to put up fitness content? Yeah. Or would we cut out loads of great people with great messages too? Because the human story can be incredible as well.
Of course. Yeah, I think the qualification thing, I mean, that's the fitness industry is not very heavily regulated, whether it's online or indifferently. Like, you can do weekend courses and open a facility and train people. So that's a bigger problem that, you know, that leads to another day's discussion. But you're dead right. I mean, they're fantastic people. There's a guy called Nick Barr who's set up an amazing supplement company and is an endurance athlete and strength training. He was a whole lot of things. And like, if I think about what he puts up, it is informative. And there's a lot of his story behind his why and his purpose, why he does what he does. And I think if younger people were taking that message on and, you know, going down a route where they wanted to push the boundaries of their fitness and their, you know, see what they can achieve, I personally don't feel that's a bad route to take versus, you know, perhaps sitting in a room gaming for the rest of your life and that being your biggest aspiration. So I think there's just so many pieces to this. Unfortunately, we're drowning in information, but we're suffocating for knowledge in this sense that there's loads of stuff being thrown at us. But to filter out the good stuff, I don't think that YouTube adjusting the algorithm is going to be enough to filter the good stuff. If anything, what will possibly happen is the influencers and the guys with the most YouTube following, although they may not have the credentials, they'll be the guys who get pushed to the top of the algorithm. So you could argue that now what's going to happen is that, you know, the actual PTs who've set up a YouTube channel and put informative videos on it won't get viewed because the algorithm will push them away, you know. So Could go either way.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. That's John Belton there, owner of Number 17 PT and Human and Performance Wellness Coach. Delighted to hear this move, says a texter from YouTube, and hopefully others will follow. My sons have followed some of these influencers who are not qualified. If I was not paying attention, they would have developed some very dangerous eating and exercise practices. Well, I'm going to bring in Keith Russell. Keith, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on. You have lived with body dysmorphia and spoken publicly about this. Mm. What do you make of this move by YouTube?
I actually personally think it's a good thing, but I do, like, I've listened to like Sarah Jane at the beginning and the other callers, and like they're all making very valid points, and like especially Sarah Jane at the beginning had mentioned some points that I was going to mention. Like, I suppose, like these restrictions were introduced by YouTube in America last year, and obviously the data that they reviewed showed that it was actually a positive thing. But it wasn't just fitness videos that they've restricted. It's also videos to do with eating disorders, and it was also videos to do with like kind of people fighting and stuff like that. So it wasn't just fitness videos, and then they're bringing it into Europe as well. Now, I'm not sure if they're bringing all the restrictions into Europe, but to deal with the fitness stuff. Obviously, I've spoken to you before, Claire, and we talked about the body dysmorphia, but there's another thing called muscle dysmorphia. Or another name for that is bigorexia, which I actually hate that name, but muscle dysmorphia. And the thing about, because I've done it myself, I mean, I think YouTube was introduced around 2005 and I was 25. I was in the height of my obsession with my body, or my negative obsession. And I ended up on YouTube, and you go down the rabbit hole and you go from one video to the next and the next and the next. And the guys, the other callers are perfectly, you know, they're actually right. There's so much misinformation out there that you don't know who you're listening to. You don't know what you're following. And you don't. And then what happens is, you know, some of the videos can lead you onto talking about supplements and proteins and creatines. And that can lead to kind of, you know, kind of missing or misuse and that stuff and the steroids. I had a parent contact me yesterday about their son who's 17 and he's really struggling at the moment. But I also agree with the last caller where the algorithm, it's restricting these videos, but it's probably just going to push the people making these videos more on Instagram and more on TikTok. And obviously they're not Google companies. So we're just talking about YouTube. So I think it's a good thing with YouTube, but obviously it needs a kind of a more holistic approach with all the other social media channels as well. It's not just up to YouTube to do this. I think the fitness videos on TikTok are, like, you know, a massive part of the content consumed over there. So it's good. It is good. It's definitely good. But it's obviously not enough, but it is better than nothing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be a step in the right direction. As we said, it's going to stop the rabbit hole. So it's not that all fitness content is gone. It's just that rabbit hole that you spoke about, that when it goes into the hands and the eyes of vulnerable people, can be very damaging, particularly, as you say, you don't know who you're listening to. But even when the professionals are giving professional advice to a vulnerable person that's feeling a certain way, that can also be equally damaging. So sometimes it's very hard to police against that, isn't it? But do you think it will make a difference, Keith, if people can get less of an access to this content?
I suppose the answer is yes and no to that. And that probably sounds like a bit of a generalistic answer. But I think, yes, it'll help on YouTube. But I think people will just go to Instagram and they'll go to TikTok to get what they're looking for. As you said, Claire, when you're in that vulnerable state, you're looking for someone to validate you. You're looking for someone to make you feel better. And if someone is on a video telling you, you do this and it'll do this to you and you'll make you feel better, you're going to search that out wherever you can get it. It is kind of like a drug because you just want to feel better. So it's good on, I mean, say, for example, when I was talking about probably when YouTube was introduced in 2005, I mean, I was lucky enough when I was even younger than that, I didn't have social media. So I kind of really only had one kind of channel to look into. Now the choice is there, and I think people will just close down YouTube and they'll open up another app on their phone and they'll get it there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not a very simple answer, but it's good that YouTube are doing it because, as I said earlier, it's eating disorder content as well. But obviously TikTok and Meta need to obviously introduce something similar as well.
Yeah, well, Keith, thank you very much for coming on. That's Keith Russell there. And if you feel you need a helpline number after this chat, Bodywise are available 01-210-7906. That's 01-210-7906.